Good evening. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to see that y'all were all able to make it out tonight. I hope that what I prepared tonight will be encouraging to you. I hope that it'll encourage you to pick up your Bibles and to study a little bit and to consider some of the things that are presented to you by the world around you, and that you'll always ultimately compare it to God's Word. And I also hope that it'll encourage you to continue trying to live a life that's pleasing to God. Some things that I would like to talk about this evening. People today will make some statements about something that they believe to be a biblical truth. And sometimes they make a claim on what they want it to say rather than what it is actually saying, because that's more convenient than the truth. And they make statements as though they are fact, when in reality the Bible doesn't say that. Or maybe it says it, but the context has been skewed by man. And so tonight I'd like to discuss some truths from the Bible, specifically what the Bible has to say about you and I, mankind, as well as our God. And to illustrate this idea, I want to talk about a verse that I see people using a lot. If this is your favorite verse, I'm sorry. Hopefully you're using it in the proper context. But in Jeremiah 29:11, we read a verse. King James Version says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Another version says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." If you take that verse just by itself, that's a rather encouraging verse, isn't it? To think that the Lord has a plan for each one of us, that He wants to give us welfare, that He wants to give us a future. Well, He wants those things for us. But to use that verse in that context, applying it to our lives today, is taking it out of our context. And God does have a plan for us, but it's not involving, God's plan for us does not involve giving us all of these earthly things that we want. This verse is specifically talking about how God would not forget the people of Israel after they had been carried off to Babylon. It was God's promise to those Israelites that were in captivity in Babylon that He would come back to them and He would bring them home after 70 years. So we see that this verse really doesn't apply to us today. So should we ignore it? No, not at all. All Scripture is profitable. Can we learn a lesson from this verse? Absolutely. Is the lesson that God wants us to learn from this verse that He has a plan for my life, and that all the things that I want, the promotion at work, the new car, the perfect family, that He's just going to give us all those things? No, I don't believe it. I believe the lesson here for us today, if we are to look at this verse, is that God doesn't forget His children in their bondage. God saw His children in bondage and developed a plan to rescue them, to return them to the promised land. And you and I today are in a foreign land. And this world is not our home. We are oppressed by sin. And God has made a plan to rescue us from our bondage. And that plan is the gospel plan of salvation. And the promised land is a home in heaven. So as we go through tonight's study, I want you to think about the truths that the Bible tells us. The truths about our sins, the truths about the punishment for those sins, and what we can do to get right with God. I think a truth that is incredibly important to keep in mind is that we have a very powerful God. Revelation 1:8 says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." I think sometimes we forget that the God who is powerful enough to forgive us of our sins today will also be powerful enough to save us or condemn us in the end. Not only that, but He won't faint or grow weary. The God that we put our faith and our hope and our trust in today will be there when life on this earth comes to an end. Isaiah 40:28 says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding." And while our God is powerful beyond our understanding, His Word is not beyond our understanding. God has given us His Word so that we can know what He wants us to do with our lives. And like we spoke about earlier, His Word is full of truths that are applicable to our lives. His Word tells us that we all have sin in our lives. Romans 3 and 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There was only one man who ever lived a life completely free from sin, and that man was Jesus. The rest of us continue to sin and fall short. My children someday will sin. Despite their and my best efforts, they will sin. Their children will sin. My great-grandchildren will sin. Your children and their children's children. And as long as the world continues, man will sin. Because man will continue to sin, we will be separated from God. Isaiah 59 and 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." When our sin separates us from God, the resulting punishment is everlasting death and destruction. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 9 says, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power?" Recognizing that we all have sin is very important when we realize that the world will end. And I know I was as shocked about it as y'all probably were when I found out that the world will end. So if you haven't read that far forward in the Bible yet, I'm sorry to spoil it for you, but the world will come to an end. And every man, woman, and child will meet an end to his life on this earth, either in death or at the end of the world when the Lord comes back. From the beginning of creation, there has been a curse of sin and death on all mankind. Romans 5 and 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Because we face death, it makes life short. We can't pretend that we know what tomorrow holds for us. James 4 and 14 says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." No one knows what time the world will end but the Father. Matthew 24 and 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." We don't know when the world will end. No one does. And if someone tries to make a prediction and say that they do, they're a liar and they're spreading false doctrine. Only God knows when the world will end. And after the world ends, we will be judged for how we have lived our lives. Every single one of us will come before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Not one of us will be able to escape judgment. Romans 2 and 3, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such thing, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" So you may be thinking, I've got a problem here. It seems that I have sin in my life. What can I do? Well, I'm here to tell you that nothing that we as humans can do could ever right this wrong with God. Isaiah 64 and 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." I use this stuff on the farm. It's called Treflan. A lot of y'all probably aren't familiar with it, but you've probably smelled it in the springtime. It's yellow, and it smells awful. And if you spill it, if you get it on your skin, it stains instantly. The smallest drop gets splashed, and it spreads, and it stains as soon as it hits you. And it doesn't matter how quickly you get water to it to try to wash it off, how much soap you use, or how much, what kind of brush or how hard you scrub, it's on there and it stinks. And eventually it wears off after a few days. But that's how our sin is to God. As soon as we come into contact with sin, it stains us. And no matter what we try to do, it won't come off. So we need a way to get us clean. And it's a gift of grace from God through His Son that He washes us clean. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The grace that God saves us with is Him sending His Son Christ. He sent someone who could make a sacrifice on our behalf, someone worthy to go to God and speak on our behalf. Every man will have need of Christ's sacrifice and mediation. Not every man will take advantage of it, but we will all have a need of it. And it doesn't matter whether you think you will or you won't, you will. One day your knee will bow and your tongue will confess, and you will need Christ. It says in 1 John that he's the propitiation for the whole world's sin. 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Not only is Christ the mediator between God, or between us and God for our sins, He's the only one. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." And Jesus reiterates this, the same thing in John. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now God will continue to offer His grace to those that humble themselves to His will until time ends. And though we have all sinned, grace has been extended to us by God through Jesus. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." God doesn't want anyone to perish. He loves us enough that He sent His Son to die for us. It's hard to imagine that He would want us to die. He wants everyone to take advantage of the gifts and the opportunities that He's given us. God doesn't want any of us to be separated from Him. But if we choose to disobey Him and we live our lives for ourselves, then we separate ourselves from Him. And it's of our own doing. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So tonight I hope that I've given you some things to think about. Hopefully you will consider some of the truths that we have talked about tonight. That the same God that created the heavens and the earth is the same God that will be there when the world ends. The same God that we've put our trust and our hope in is going to be there when the world ends. I hope that we can see that you and I, as men and women, we all have sin in our lives. That someday the world will end and you and I will have to answer for our sins. And we can either stand before God on that final day in our filthy rags, knowing that it won't be enough, or we can choose Christ. We can choose to have Christ wash away our sins so that we stand spotless before God. And we can choose to have Christ say, "This is one of mine, I know Him." So if you're here tonight and you're struggling and you need the prayers of the church, we stand ready to help you with that. Or if you're here tonight and you've never come into contact with the blood of Christ through baptism, we stand ready to help you with that as well. If you have the need of the church, come forward as we stand and sing.